Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. You just can't walk up to a man and say, sir, to you the gospel is preached. What are you talking about? Without that background, without that historical biblical context, men will never understand the gospel. And so we do have to start with historical biblical information.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope you've enjoyed that clip from our message that we'll be bringing to you later from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We begin our Bible reading here today from Matthew 9, verse 18. Let's hear the Lord's word. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. The key verse here, I believe, is verse 22, where Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. We know that faith has a big part in true gospel religion. It is not works nor human efforts. Faith is the powerful means to draw the power and blessing of God into our lives. But what is faith? How can we describe it? It is an abstract. It is not material. I think that the account of this woman's healing will help us to discover true faith that brings the power of God into your life. Firstly, notice, it is to link up with the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Faith is not just mental thoughts. The object of faith is the Lord Jesus himself and the power that is in him. The interesting thing is that this woman touched the hem of the Savior's garment. Now, why the hem? This has been taken as an emblem of the righteousness of the Lord. His coat represents the perfections of the Lord, and the hem is the finished work in the coat's making. Saving faith considers and focuses upon the perfect life of the Lord and the finished work of redemption which the Lord came into the world to fulfill. To put it simply, faith is to trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. A Christian, a man or woman of faith, joins up our trust in the perfect life and death of the Son of God. And faith is trusting completely in the life and work of another, even the Lord Jesus himself. Secondly, faith is to expect a cure from the malady of sin. This woman said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She expected a miracle and got it. This was no experiment to her. She was not trying out to see if this would work. She was convinced that this man, who was so near to her in the crowds, was the Son of God. In the midst of others pressing on the Lord to help them, this woman knew that he would heal her. This speaks volumes for the confidence that was behind her act of faith. I call it an act of faith because she had to make contact with the Lord, even for just a split second, to touch the hem of his garment. She did not remain passive, and the faith was attributed to her. The Lord said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." It was her faith. It was her act of trust. It was her reaching out to contact the Lord. She did it, and she was blessed with healing. My friend, this is called obeying the gospel. I know that we preachers often say that there is nothing you can do to save your soul. We say that it is not of works, it is the gift of God. But that does not absolve you from the responsibility of obeying the good news of the gospel, of entering into God's way of saving your soul. You are commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus. Then you will be saved. You must come to the Lord with your own faith, your own act of trust, and expect the miracle of salvation. He has promised to save everyone that cometh to him. You can step out on the promises, but you must obey. You must make contact with the Lord. Faith is the way to do that. Believe, come, trust, surrender, call, pray, cry out, plead your case. But don't just stand there doing nothing. Believe the gospel. And then, like this woman, you will have a miracle in your life of the power of the Lord at work in your soul. I trust today this has been helpful, and that you will call on the Lord to be your Lord and your Savior by simple saving faith. Let's unite together in prayer and ask the Lord to work this in your heart. O God and Father, we thank thee today for this biblical example of the nature of faith and faith's object. We rejoice that this woman was made perfectly whole, and that there is power in the Lord Jesus to save us. This woman learned the source of that power and how to draw that power into her life. She came and touched the Savior's hem. And O God, by faith today, we would trust the Lord Jesus. And I pray that by grace thou wilt call men and women to simple faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that thou wilt give that ability to trust, to rest and sit at Jesus' feet, and to call upon him for mercy. And so, Lord, bless thy word to us today, and grant that you'll comfort your people, that you will minister to every heart, that you will give wisdom and guidance to all who are facing decisions, that you will provide every need for those that have bills to pay and material needs. We pray for those that have heartache and suffer loss. O Lord, grant that you will pour in thy comfort and give thy personal blessing. Now be with us, hear and answer prayer. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.
Atonement by my Lord was made.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air to bring you the gospel, and I trust that today you'll stay tuned with us as we look at apostolic preaching. This is our Acts series looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. And no greater life to study the art of preaching. And we want to look at what manner of preaching and what message they delivered in the book of Acts. So I trust you'll stay tuned with us, and the Lord will bless his word to your heart today. Thank you for joining with us.
Now, in modern day communicating, and I use that word as opposed to preaching, in modern day communicating, young preachers are taught not to offend, not to rub, not to cause offense, but to preach with an art and a finesse that does not cause any offense. Let me tell you, that is not apostolic preaching. That is not biblical preaching, because there has to be the warning. It sticks out here. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you. The very prophet spoke. Blindness, unbelief, Christ rejection, and there needs to be warning in the ministry. In other words, you cannot afford to give sleeping sinners a comfortable pew. There needs to be the note of alarm to awaken men and women to the urgency and importance of the gospel. And that takes application. It's like the preacher leaning over the pulpit and getting somebody by the neck and saying, look, are you listening? Are you taking it in? Or is this just going in one ear and out the other? Are you even thinking about something else? Are you listening up? That's application. Not sure if I told many about this, but I've been asked by our presbytery to spearhead a little project on church planting. Supposed to be ready for June for this Congress that's coming up. And it may also be used in our seminary for young preachers going out church planting. I don't intend to do it all alone. At least I have summoned a number of people for help on this subject. But it's a big, big task. And I have come to the very happy position of having a table of contents completed. So, making good progress. I have asked Mr. Wagner, our professor of homiletics, for some help in this. He tells me he doesn't have much time and he may have to wait. However, I'll just have to wait. One of the 10 questions that I had for him, and of course, this will go into what will be really a manual for young preachers going out church planting. One of the questions of the 10 is, what do you think is the biggest mistake that a young preacher may make in the first year of his ministry? Now, that could be any number of things, of course. That's a leading question. And if it can avoid, help young men avoid wasting time, a good answer to that may be a good thing. I will have to consult with Mr. Wagner on this, but I believe the answer to that is lack of application. And I did this myself. That's how I know. Young preachers assume that their hearer will apply the word themselves. But the preacher doesn't have to do that. As long as you lay it up nice, fresh bread out of the oven, steaming hot, the people will cut it up for themselves. They'll butter it, and they'll chew it, and they'll enjoy it. All you have to do is get it out of the oven. Let me tell you, when it comes to applying the Word of God, Christians are slow in doing so. Very slow. I looked for some help on this. I read of one account of a woman who sat in a meeting. She said, that was a wonderful sermon. That applies to just about everybody I know. Except herself, of course. She thought about everybody she knew, but hadn't thought about herself. And there is a strange streak in human nature that when it comes to this hard matter of examining the heart and humbling ourselves before God in the light of His Word, that we'll think of someone else before we think of ourselves. An English preacher of the last generation used to say that he cared very little what he said the first half hour, but he cared a great deal what he said the last 15 minutes. Mr. Beecher said of Jonathan Edwards that in the elaborated doctrinal part, and if you know how these men preach, they preach doctrine and then they got to application later, that in the first segment of the preaching, they were lining up their guns. You know, in a warfare, getting your guns in position, that's time and tedious. But that's the first part of the preaching. You're lining up your guns. The last part of your sermon, you're taking fire. But alas, many spend all their time lining up their guns but never fire at all because they don't use application. William Gladstone once said, one thing I have against the clergy, both of the country and the towns, that they are not severe enough on their congregations. They do not sufficiently lay upon the souls and consciences of their hearers their moral obligations and probe their hearts and bring up their whole lives and actions to the bar of conscience. With time tonight, we could go to the book of Corinthians and we'll find that Paul the Apostle, he prayed that he would preach to the conscience of men. That's real preaching. We have to face something tonight, that this matter of preaching in the 21st century has fallen to such a low ebb. The majority of popular ministries today have slanted toward pleasing men. That's why they're popular. The real business of preaching is preaching about a man's sin and shortcomings. Becomes a very unpopular work. That's why Jeremiah ended up in the water cistern, imprisoned. That's why he was hated and despised. That's why Paul was hated and despised. You'll read that he was driven out of the city later. Another little matter here during the Civil War. President Abraham Lincoln attended a church service. He sat in the pastor's study. His own life was under severe threat. There were secret service men attending with him. And when he was walking home, one of the attendants said to him, "Sir, what did you think of the sermon?" Lincoln replied, "It was brilliantly conceived, biblical, relevant, and well presented." And so it was a great sermon. No, it failed because the preacher, a Dr. Gurley, did not ask the people to do something great. Preaching is persuading. It's not just information. It's pleading, beseeching. And over in Acts 20, you'll find that Paul says that he, for 3 years, preached and warned night and day with tears. There is the burden, and there's the warning. And so tonight, I trust that we have done a little service in this congregation, that you may begin to pray that God may give us a ministry that is truly apostolic. We often pray about an apostolic church, a New Testament church. We often pray that we want to be doing things according to the New Testament way. That's going to happen. We need to begin with New Testament preaching. Preaching that makes it hot for sinners, hot for hypocrites, hot for deceivers, hot for those that are just playing church and pretending that they will be brought to repentance, brought into blessing. That's the preaching that God uses. Yes, we're inclined to be mild and meek and gentle. But when it comes to preaching about a man's sin, we can be too gentle, too nice. And when sinners end up in hell, the preacher will be held accountable. Did we warn him enough of his soul? Or did we make the hearer think, this is good information, but it doesn't really matter what you do with it? That's the issue that we learn here tonight. Let's pray that God will give us preaching that will be biblical and apostolic. Let's conclude tonight with another hymn. And we're turning to 638. Only One Life to Give. 638. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth, ere toil ends at the close of the day. Number 638. Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for this great example we have, and we pray that thou wilt give to us the very power and the grace to preach as these men in the first century preached. Those that having the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, having this gospel filling their hearts, were empowered and emboldened to preach the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we pray for a race of preachers today across this nation, in our own church, oh God, that thou wilt give us such preaching. Forgive me, oh God, for my weakness of preaching, for my coldness at times, for my failure, oh God, to press the importance of the Word of God home to hearts. And grant, Lord, that thou wilt give us that balance of being gentle as a nurse and yet warning as a prophet against the follies of sin and all its evils. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless us this week ahead. Give us many opportunities to speak of our Lord. Grant, O God, that thou wilt use our testimonies, that thou wilt be glorified in us and through us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.